listening to Dojo and Dynamite. Dynamo Japan and Ring is out of sight. All Elite TNT make it feel right. New Japan All Elite, time to unite. One's named Rich, the other Ashley. The number one pod for the whole family. Time to fill your wrestling appetite. Now it's time to start Dojo and Dynamite.
Yeah, it's time for Dojo and Dynamite. Yeah.
Hey guys, this is Ashley and Rich here with episode 92 of Dojo and Dynamite. It is Monday, September 20th, and this is dropping a little bit late, but what a weekend of wrestling we had. What a week of wrestling we had.
Yeah, we got to go to Dynamite on Wednesday, which means that we saw Rampage, watched GCW this weekend, watched the G1 this weekend. We had to wait until today. I apologize to everybody. We're going to catch up. I know that this is obviously a podcast that's supposed to be about Dynamite, but I mean, look, it's Dojo, Dynamite, and death matches now.
Yeah.
It's just what we are.
Yes, it is.
Can't deny that.
We're evolving.
But it's more about, let's just talk about things that we like to talk about, right? So it's, we're going to talk about GCW later tonight. We've enjoyed watching their production. We're going to talk about G1.
Opening up of the A block and B block.
Which had some really good matchups already.
Yeah.
We went to Newark. Now, let's talk a little bit about the experience.
We bought these tickets.
Prudential Center.
Was fantastic. I'd never been.
Very, very nice venue. Very easy to park, actually. We got out pretty quick.
Yeah.
We did leave a little early because, again, it was one of those things that you're giving us Fuego versus Miro again. And unfortunately, in a very packed environment, knowing that you have to get out in the traffic and it's a Wednesday night, people have to go to work the next day. Like, the, you know, the group that we're in, like, I got to get up really early. It's like we couldn't stay for the entire Rampage, especially since it was literally just a repeat of what the TNT title match was in the first Rampage. Obviously, it had to set up for Sammy, but the fact that it was so easy to park, it was very accessible. So many vendors. We were in the Caesars Club, like, area where
yeah.
you would have drinks and food and merchandise stands, or the lines were crazy. But you know what's interesting? Merchandise stands, this is from us, at the All Out, I believe they had a very, very large selection. I mean, people can correct me, but there were like 5 t-shirts in Newark. It was like the Punk t-shirt, the Brian t-shirt, a flag. It wasn't a lot of options.
They had some, like, New York, New Jersey exclusive, I think.
Which was different than All Out. But this is a show 500 days or so in the making since we purchased the tickets. We got the tickets while we were on the Jera Cruise. We found out at Revolution it was going to be Blood and Guts. Now we fast forward to this. It was basically just a setup show for what is Grand Slam next week. And honestly, there were some jeers, I would call it. Some half-hearted cheers, some jeers in the crowd regarding when they announced the matchups for next week, because not everybody at Newark was going to be going to the Grand Slam. People have had these tickets for over 500 days. Queens is not close. Queens is a hall. You got to leave early. We had to leave like 3 o'clock in the afternoon to get out there. So this is something that I think the people who went to Newark, as much as the show was good, there was big things that happened. There were big things. Sorry, correct my grammar. There were big things that happened. Cody returned. You kind of had the setup with FTR for Sting and Darby. You had the Jericho thing. You had Moxley, the Suzuki song that played.
Yes, Katsu ni Nare. The Suzuki incident was redeemed.
It was. Punk went through a table. Obviously, he set up with, you know, Hook. Hobbs and Hook. But it was a show that just kind of was a building show, almost like a go-home show to their big show, which was next week. But the way that everybody spoke about it, Jericho, Tony Khan, who had spoken to us multiple times, he basically was setting up, and they said, you know, we'll get you next week, and he expected to get a pop, but the crowd, not many people are going to be going. I would say only about a quarter of the crowd is going to be going to next week's show.
Well, look at our group. We went with, there was 4 of us, and 3 of us are going to Arthur Ashe. I know that's only one, I mean, I know that's obviously only one individual that's not going to be joining us, but, you know, that he made the decision that he didn't want to do the commute with work. It's a haul, like you said, so, yeah, I definitely imagine that it is not going to be the same exact crowd next week, this week, rather.
Yeah, there was somebody who he lived, like, the Upper West Side or something, and he was like, you know, Newark was easier to get to than what Queens is going to be. It's shorter. He was like, I just took one train to Penn Station, went from Penn Station to Newark. Like, and then now it's like, you know, they're going to be going out to Queens. It's like, I got to get out to like Shea Stadium or wherever the hell it is. City Field. It's interesting in that way that this is going to be the big show out in Queens, which really, as much as Queens is considered New York City, it's not really New York City. People, if you're not familiar with the New York City area, I mean, the city is really Manhattan. It's really the center island. And it's like you got to go through Manhattan to get out to where Long Island is, Queens, out in that area. It's not a really close area to where we are in Jersey. We have to go through all that. Especially since it's going to be so late, we're going to have to drive. So I got to get drive through the city to get out there. So it's not really, I don't want to say it's not accessible, but, you know, for the Newark show, I was disappointed. I know that a lot of people said they didn't want to be, you want to stay positive, but, you know, here's the truth. I was a little disappointed. We bought these tickets, we were excited for Blood and Guts, and what we got was kind of a filler show, a setup show. We didn't get the Young Bucks. We got a filler setup show, an okay Rampage for next week's card. And, like, God forbid, I paid $125 for my seats or whatever it was, and then I don't even get to see the matchups for next week. That's disappointing.
Yeah, we're lucky enough to be going to Arthur Ashe this week, so we did get the double experience, but... Yeah, I hear you. I mean, it's obviously no one's fault that Blood and Guts got moved. The pandemic, no one can control that, but...
It definitely seemed, though, no, they can't control it, but it definitely seemed that AEW anticipated that majority of this audience, if not all of it, was going to be there next week, and it did not seem like that at all. So, just to make them aware, I guess, they're not going to hear it, you know, but it's like just to kind of say, look, it's not true. But nonetheless, we went to Dynamite. Ashley got to see some friends connect. I got to meet people that
yes.
Ashley has connected to.
You got to meet Jackie.
I did. It was a good time.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. There was a lot of people there. A lot of people knew each other. It was kind of like getting back together. For a lot of people, this is their first wrestling show that they've been to. In how long? So, you know, it's an opportunity that, you know, to reconnect over wrestling, get to see people that you haven't seen in a long time. And it was a fun event. It was really, we had great seats. The seats were very comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very comfortable. But nonetheless, the show just kind of never got hot. The crowd was there. It just never got started. You know, we opened up with Adam Cole and Kaz, which was fine. But it was basically standard fare. It was a high-quality wrestling match that you expect or anticipate. It's a match that we've seen in Ring of Honor. It's one of those types of things that comes back to Hammerstein at when we used to watch them 5-6 years ago. So, you know, it's the same guys. It's comfortable.
Enjoyable.
Maybe I thought that was why AEW did it for the audience, because they were used to seeing Kaz and Adam Cole. It's kind of a stomping ground for them in a way of Ring of Honor to have these guys come back and wrestle each other.
Well, it's a nice little nudge for, like, those who know, but those who don't, I mean, it's still a great matchup, so... I don't see where you go wrong there.
Yeah, and this was a conversation we were having a lot recently with our friend group and talking about who should be getting television time and who shouldn't be. And this kind of, as much as we're going to try to get through it as quickly as possible, not as quickly as possible, but it was over a week ago. And where everybody's excited for Grand Slam, not many people are talking about last week's Dynamite and build to it. So, you know, Cole versus Kaz, very good match. First match for Adam Cole back on TV. When was the last time he had a match on TV? August? So it's the first time in a couple weeks.
His AEW in-ring debut.
AEW in-ring wrestling debut. We were talking about this with a couple of friends, and you guys can kind of fill me in here. The Brian Pillman thing, which is interesting, is that a lot of people at home, you know, on Twitter, they support Brian Pillman. They like the feud with MJF. The people in the venue, which is not Twitter, you know, it's tough sometimes with Twitter using social media. It's such a loud platform. We see it every day. We use it every day. We see all of the people's opinions, but a lot of it's the same people's opinions. You kind of realize that, yeah, I'm looking at the same person's opinion every day. I'm looking at the same person's perspective, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you appreciate their perspective. You engage in their conversation. You enjoy their point of view. That's fine.
No, that's the community that we're a part of, but when you get into the venue...
You realize that, like, maybe... Not even maybe, but the facts are that Twitter is such a minority. Because they were raving about the Brian Pillman. Crowd didn't care. Crowd didn't give a shit about Brian Pillman at all. And it was just a generalized idea that, yeah, MJF built a lot of heat. I mean, he said some lines that would conjure heat, which are, you know, they call it cheap heat, and he kind of shit on us for it, but it is just cheap heat. He just comes in there and lines it up. Like he was talking about Cincinnati the other week.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, quite frankly, I don't give a shit about Cincinnati. I don't care what he said. You know, and that's what cheap heat is. He says, oh, the smart marks tell me that it's fucking cheap heat. Yeah, it is. We're sitting home. He says, Cincinnati's a terrible place. I go, yeah, it's probably a shithole. No offense to Cincinnati. It's like, you know, it's like he says, Newark's a shithole. It's like, yeah, Newark's pretty much a shithole. Yeah, pretty much. You're not telling us anything new. Not hurting my feelings. I don't live in Newark. Like, I'm sorry. If somebody did, I don't want to be that guy. But it's like, you know, Newark sucks. Like, yeah, okay, it does. Pretty shitty. I don't want to be here either, man. I mean, but we are. So this is where we're at. But in reality, I think for MJF, it's kind of, you know, look, yeah, he's building cheap heat. Brian Pillman comes out. He's not in Cincinnati. Crowd doesn't really care. I'm not saying I don't like it. I think Brian Pillman is a great look. I like Brian Pillman. His promo is still getting there, but I like Brian Pillman. I think he's a good-looking wrestler. But I can tell you by the audience reaction to him, especially post-match, that people didn't particularly care that much about Brian Pillman. They cared about MJF, that's for damn sure. But they didn't care particularly for Brian Pillman. So that was what I was getting back to at the point. We're talking a lot between friends about who should be featured on television in regarding like enhancement talents and not. You know, Max Caster and the Acclaimed, they came out. Anthony Bowens, Max Caster, they cut a promo with Tony Khan. That got over. Crowd liked that. Crowd was into the Acclaimed. Remember, that was before television. I don't think that was televised.
No, Tony was getting us started for the night. It was like right before we went on air.
Yeah, they got a big pop. Crowd liked them. Crowd on Brian Pillman, not so hot. You know, so I think that sometimes you see what you see. We see it all the time because of Twitter, because of who we are affiliated with in the internet wrestling community, as they call it. But it's not necessarily the same for those who are actually at the venues, who may not be on Twitter, may not be in the social field. So we'll see how they decide they want to go about it. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with Brian Pillman at all, but we're getting that match at Grand Slam. We'll see how his reaction is at Grand Slam. See if he, over the past 2 weeks of getting, you know, kind of that baby face rub, let's see if he gets over in Grand Slam. Let's see if they cheer for him very, very highly instead of, you know, they're close to MJF's home out there. I mean, that's close to Long Island. I mean, this is kind of MJF's stomping grounds out there. Let's see if MJF still gets booed really hard.
Or booed as heavily.
As heavily.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, we'll see. But that kind of goes to who should we be seeing more on television. And I would like to see guys like Kaz. They're, you know, again, named athletes. People know who they are. And of course, you're going to get affiliated with them. But there are guys maybe that are put on AEW sometimes that don't really conjure excitement. Now, I like 2.0. I think 2.0 are very good. I like their veterans. I like the fact that they can hit all their spots. They rarely fuck up. But somebody like you, Ash, not excited to see 2.0.
Not particularly.
Exactly. And none of our friends were. They're like, you know, this is the main event. We're getting Moxley and Kingston versus 2.0. And it's like, that's the kind of thing. But if it was Kaz, for example, if it was, I'm not saying Christopher Daniels even wants to wrestle anymore, but if it was Kaz and Christopher Daniels, they can eat a pin. You'd be more excited to see that against Kingston and Moxley.
Yeah.
And the result would be the same. And it wouldn't overshadow Kaz or Daniels. People would still respect them. So are we seeing enough of maybe that where those guys are coming in here? Like Kaz came in, obviously, Elite Hunter, part of the faction with Christian, Danielson, Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus. He comes in, he faces Adam Cole. Story makes complete sense. Crowd likes Kaz. Kaz can still go really, really well. He puts over Adam Cole, and nobody looks at Kaz as being any weaker. Now, do we need to watch guys like 2.0 consistently? I mean, I like 2.0 personally, but I'm putting it out there. You know, the rest of our friends don't really like 2.0, think they're kind of a filler. So is that something where maybe, you know, like SCU would have worked better, or like, you know, the Dark Order would have worked better, or Butcher and Blade would have worked better? Just because they're a namesake and they could take defeats?
Well, I mean, 2.0 made sense in terms of where we've been at the past few weeks. I mean, they're going to war with,
it is true,
Mox and Darby and Eddie Kingston and Sting. So, I mean, from a story standpoint, yeah, that was the matchup. And there's nothing wrong with them in the ring, but they just they don't particularly excite me.
Exactly. So, but I don't think that a lot of people feel that way. Or I think that a lot of people feel, I don't know what I'm trying to say here. What I'm trying to say is I think that you're in the majority. And I think that that's kind of hurting maybe what these, like you look at the Rampage ratings. I know it's a Friday night, but hey, let me be honest with you. At 10 o'clock on Friday night, you really want to watch Rampage?
I don't feel that recently it's been can't miss. This week, I mean, there was good stuff that happened this week. It led me into GCW Highest in the Room.
We also watched it live, so we kind of didn't have to watch it on Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I saw
myself on TV. We missed the, like you said, we left early, so I had to catch up on the ending. But, I mean, it was fine. But
right, but, I mean, GCW Highest in the Room, I want to watch that. Live pay-per-view, Suzuki versus Jonathan Gresham.
Yeah.
Main event. Like, that's something that interests me.
And granted, that started at 11 p.m. Eastern, so,
so
it didn't interfere with Rampage. But, like, I was more into that this week than...
Well, I guess just put that into perspective. People were wondering why the Rampage ratings are down. Neither of us really wanted to watch it. Not that I didn't want to watch it. It's just that, you know, I at 10 o'clock on a Friday night, as much as we don't really do as much as maybe some others do, I am more engaged with hanging out with people.
No, I will say, I think we even talked about this before. I had made a comment to you, like, what else are we doing at 10 p.m. on a Friday? Nothing. We're just hanging out in our living room. You're playing video games. I'm working on crafts. Like, why wouldn't we be watching Rampage?
Yeah, but I'm hanging out.
But now, yes. Like, at first, I'm like, why wouldn't we be watching? But now that we're kind of in the moment, it's like, it's on in the background, but I feel like we're not going out of our way to catch it on Friday night. We can watch it on Saturday or watch it on Sunday if we happen to miss it because we're in the middle of something else.
But that's something that I guess is our translation to it. It's kind of, hey, what is this show right now for us? And it's, I'm not saying it's Dark or Elevation. It's just that's different because on YouTube, it's one of those things where we've been really, really, really busy. And I apologize to those.
That's an us problem.
The podcast,
that's us problem.
And then look, the podcast has been a little late. It's been different times. We've been kind of, hey, I don't want to miss this. Don't want to miss this. Right now in wrestling, there's so much happening. We
Did
don't
we
want to miss it.
Also mentioned that you started a new school.
Right. So I started an MBA program. So it's every day. I mean, this it's like it's every day. So it's kind of like I can't, you know, it's been a little more difficult to try to schedule the right time.
It's
to make
online,
sure it's
but
consistent.
You actually have class to attend. So it's,
yeah, I have classes
it's different.
So it's definitely something that, you know, it engages what's going on here. So it's like, hey, we got to wait. We're not going to do this Saturday. We want to cover GCW. We want to cover G1. We got to catch up because I got to do work. And then we got this night. So it's kind of, you know, here we are Monday. Got a little bit of a break after the entire weekend. We got to squeeze it in. So
yeah. It's
kind of where we are. And I think that, you know, it translates to kind of, you know, what's happening with Rampage that when people have things going on, Wednesdays, I don't miss it.
No, that is... can't miss, must see TV. Like
right.
My day, my week revolves around Wednesday Night Dynamite. Like we are not
it's,
doing
it's
anything
a really
else.
It's good time. It's hump day. It's the middle of the week. That's what it is. Don't laugh at me. But we're in the middle of the week. You're not doing anything else. Everybody's working. It's a break.
Yeah.
But on Friday night, I want to hang out. I want to hang out with my friends. I want to do shit. I want to play Call of Duty or something. Because the pandemic has changed really what hanging out with your friends is now. It's kind of like, you know, you get together and get in like a party on PlayStation and play some Call of Duty. Some shit like that. But it's like, you know, I want to hang out with my friends. Friday night, no one's working. Everybody's off, excited for the weekend. Rampage doesn't give me that excitement when you're getting Miro versus Fuego for 2.0. Not 2.0, no pun intended. I meant like the second time.
You
got Butcher and Blade who somehow... have a championship match. Butcher's been out for like 9 months. I know that we don't watch Dark often and we really should watch Dark more, but has Blade been winning like handicap matches to keep himself on top the tag team like
It's a bracket? Serious question. I think they were what? Ranked number 1 or
They're
number 2?
Number 1 team, Butcher and the Blade. How the fuck is that possible? The Blade has been gone for 9 months. That's what I was asking.
Has it been 9 months?
Yeah, something shit like that. But has Blade been literally wrestling handicap matches, single-handedly beating tag teams to keep his ranking?
That'd be good.
That's the kind of thing that I don't understand. How the fuck are they number one?
I don't know, but that was a fun match. We like Butcher and Blade. We like the Lucha Bros. Good for the tag division. But back to the show and back to the tag division. We had Dante Martin and Matt Sydal versus FTR.
And we had a friend of ours say, why is Matt Sydal teaming with Dante Martin? I said, well, Dante Martin's so good, he's taken over for Sydal's brother. Sydal's brother is now Dante Martin.
Oh, no.
Because you had Matt and Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike's gone. He's now Dante Martin. Dante Martin's too good, he's now Matt Sydal's brother.
No, very exciting match. Excellent talent in the ring. They did the entrances during the commercial break, which from a television standpoint makes sense because they're like, let's just get to the fucking action. This is going to be a crazy match. Let's get into it. Cool. Being in the arena, though, we didn't know what was happening. And FTR comes out to like a minimal reaction.
We didn't know what was happening because it happened on commercial. Why did FTR have an entrance on commercial?
I just explained. So when they come back to television, they can just get to the action because they got 2 hours of show to get through.
No, but I understand. But why did FTR get a commercial entrance? Like, I understand Dante Martin and Matt Sydal. I get that. And that's because they're just not at that level yet. But why is FTR not getting television entrance? That's more of like a rhetorical question. It's not to like counter you. It's just like, you know, for the audience.
I think they
why
came
is
out
FTR,
first, right?
Yeah, but why are they not on TV? I don't understand that. I don't get why they're not getting television action. Like, why are they not getting a television entrance? I understand time, but it's FTR. Nonetheless, the match is good. Dante Martin is really, really enjoyable. Matt Sydal and Dante Martin are very similar.
No, I think it's a good pairing.
Yeah, I think they're very, very similar. And I think FTR is obviously great. FTR came out here. We saw FTR twice. Spoilers ahead. But FTR, they get the win over Dante Martin and Matt Sydal, which kind of sets up, we can even jump to that if you want, which is Sean Spears versus Darby Allin, which was a great match. Which
Hell
turns
yeah.
into FTR attacking Sting.
Yep.
Spike pile driver.
Wiping off that face paint.
And wiping off the face paint. So I don't know what Darby Allin's real name is, but it's like Steve Borden and like Darbo versus
Darbo.
FTR now without face paint
Good
on.
Good Lord.
But I mean, that's a great feud. That's happening next week also.
This week.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Next show. Is that a Rampage match? That Rampage is stacked. You get an Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky versus Jericho and Jake Hager, which again was a promo. We're jumping all over the car, but it's fine. You had them come out. You had the entire top team who come out. Jericho comes out. Not what I expected at all. Not to see Jericho in that spot.
No.
Just not who I expected to come out during that
I don't know who I expected, but it wasn't Jericho.
So Jericho comes out. Top team. They converse back and forth. I don't know. There was a bunch of chants. Bunch of, I don't know, like cheap heat promos. I don't really remember what they said, but it just ended up getting somehow to, I thought they were going to fight, like, that's what I mean, is like, I thought it was going to be like Hager versus them in like a cage or something, because I don't even remember what they talked about. But they end up getting to like Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky versus Jericho and Hager at Rampage. So that's what this whole thing got to. But it was kind of cool. Like, the crowd popped big for Jericho. The crowd wanted to pop for things, but there was nothing really, to cheer for. You kind of caught everybody off guard with the FTR. I mean, it's all kind of tying together. But you catch everybody off guard with FTR coming out to commercial. They don't know what's going to happen because Justin Roberts kind of, like, doesn't introduce them.
Yeah, it was like a weird timing in the arena because we were obviously on commercial break. So people are getting up, running to the bathroom, grabbing drinks, doing what they have to do before the next match starts. And then, like, if it was a minimal reaction, all
exactly.
things considered.
Because no one knew it was happening. And then you end up, we missed a Christian Cage promo that apparently was great.
They didn't air that for us.
No, they didn't air that for us. We're just sitting there.
We saw it on Rampage.
We did, yes. But that's what I'm saying is that we're just sitting there. So then all of a sudden, top team comes out, and you're like, all right, this is cool. And then Jericho comes out, so the crowd pops. And then they bullshit each other. And then it turns into a match between Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page. They didn't even talk. I don't think they even talked. I think it's the match, right? It's Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page versus Jericho and Hager. I could be wrong, but, you know, that's the kind of stuff where I just thought the show was so convoluted. It was like, all right, then we go to that. And then it's like, all right, well, that just ends. And Jericho just kind of waves it off. And it's like, all right, well, what's next? And it's like, you know, you go into a different match, and then...
Well, before that, we had the return of Cody.
Right, that was before that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you had Malakai Black come, which was not what we thought, because, again, we were in the section where Cody and Malakai fought.
Yeah.
That was our, like, aisle.
So we had spoilers because
the guy came down and said somebody was coming. So we thought that was going to be Moxley.
Yeah.
Because they're like, hey, someone's going to come down this aisle right at the end, you know, kind of stay out of the aisle way, let them walk. So I was like, oh, maybe it's 2.0's match now. Because
yeah.
Why would that main event? So the thought, right, why would that main event? So then it's Cody, Malakai Black comes, Rosario Dawson jumps the barricade, which was wild. Because we, again, in the crowd, have no context of what's happening. Can't hear the commentators. Don't know why Rosario Dawson's there. It is. I look at the woman next to me. Very nice lady. Sat next to me. Fan. Enjoyed it. She had a good time. I had a good time. I say to her, is that Rosario Dawson? She says, yeah. I said, why? She goes, I don't know.
The Go Big Show.
Yes. I found that out later.
Yeah.
I don't watch that. So, yeah, you know, that's Paul White. We don't watch BS. No more BS. We don't watch
No more BS.
Yeah, so why would we watch that? No more BS. So, you know, Rosario Dawson's there. She attacks Malakai Black. Promo was fine. Malachi's cool. Cody comes back. Crowd's kind of like, oh, right, this is Cody. I mean, obviously now it's Cody because it's Malakai Black, but it's not like the crowd really knew it was happening. Crowd didn't really care, to be honest, about Cody coming back. It wasn't this enormous pop. And there were kind of feelings within the crowd, too. It's like, ah, Cody, okay. And that's what I'm worried about for Grand Slam. Is Cody going to get a massive cheer or not? I just feel like the area doesn't necessarily love Cody. I hope so, because it would contribute to the match. I mean, Malakai is clearly a heel now. As much as he was getting cheered when he first arrived, he's clearly a bad guy. He came out, crowd was kind of, because they want to like him, because they do like him, but at the same time, he's a bad guy. So they're respecting him by not cheering, right? So then Cody comes out. Crowd does cheer. Not a huge pop, but Cody comes out. They fight through the crowd. We can't see what the fuck's happening. It's just fine. Then we go to commercial, apparently. But they're still fighting, so we don't know we're at commercial.
Right. Right.
And then it just ends. Okay, I guess we're done fighting. Like, it was a weird thing where they were still kind of fighting in the aisleways.
But you know what? We also... This is the first Dynamite that we went to. Besides the cruise. And the cruise was a very, very different experience. So, this could just be us adjusting to a Dynamite production in the arena.
Yeah, it's just that...
The flow seemed a little odd with certain things.
The flow for the crowd pops is off.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. You know, that's why the crowd was kind of in flux, because it's like... You know, we're still watching Malakai versus Cody because it's happening still. And you're like, all right, or whatever happened next. I don't remember, but like it was, I think Jade came out, right?
Yeah, it was Jade Cargill versus Layla Hirsch.
They have their match. Jade wins.
Mm-hmm.
Layla Hirsch has made a lot of people look really good recently. She's done really, really, really well.
Yeah, I like this matchup.
She's done really, really, really well. So I don't know what Jade's turned into. There was something happened, and there's something happened at the end of Jade's match. She didn't just leave. Didn't somebody come out?
I know Punk gets attacked after.
Oh, that happened right then.
By Team Taz.
Yeah, that happened like right then. Yeah. Sorry, that's what I meant. Yeah, something happens right at the end of the Jade. That was CM Punk getting attacked by Powerhouse Hobbs.
And Hook. Hook is over.
Hook is very over.
Yeah.
We saw Hook live.
We all love Hook.
So he like chokeslams Punk through the table. Table does not break. People were like, oh, the table didn't break. Well, it's holding all their equipment. It's not supposed to break. It's supposed to hold all their stuff.
That's not a wrestling table.
No, it's not. It's not a door, Brett Lauderdale. It's a table. But it's one of those things that, you know, Punk takes the bump. He gets kind of taken out. They carry him out. You know, we kind of cheer for him. We don't know if that's on TV or not because we don't know what's happening. And then that goes into...
Darby Spears.
The Darby Spears match.
Mm-hmm.
Which was the tie-in with FTR returning, which was completely unexpected. So Darby versus Sean Spears is a very good match. Again, it's Kaz and Cole opening up. Feels like a long time ago. And then Darby and Spears have a very, very good match. There was a point where Spears was sitting on the steel steps, and he like suicide dives out and like takes him out. That was a really cool spot. But he goes and gets the towel, and I thought he was bleeding. I don't know why. I just, the way he grabs the towel and he starts putting water on it, and the cameras in the arena were not really picking up what Spears was doing. So I don't know what it looked like at home. So I see him go over to the ring bell, the ring area, and he starts pouring water on like a rag. And I'm like, oh no, I think somebody's bleeding. Like the first thing I was like, he's trying to clean something up. And then he goes and he starts rubbing off the face paint of Darby Allin, which was like, whoa, now he's not Darby Allin anymore. don't know what he is.
Yeah, I mean, we saw Darby in full face paint, full gear, at the beach.
Yeah, literally.
On the Jerry Cruise.
Now he's just the guy from that TLC show.
Oh, my.
I don't know. I don't know what he is anymore. I mean, Sting's not Sting. He's Steve. But FTR comes out. I thought that was a really good spot, by the way. I think we talked about how FTR needed it. I mean, this is a really good spot. It's a good match. Sting and Darby Allin versus FTR is great. That's really, really, really good. That's something I'm very interested in, very invested in. Everything Sting's done, he took a spike pile driver. Everything Sting has done, I'm very invested in. So that happens. We don't expect to see FTR, let alone twice. So I'm sure, you know, Jackie popped.
Hell yeah. She was super excited.
Because they didn't advertise it, right? I don't think they even...
No, I think they actually announced the FTR match on Wednesday. I think that was something that they announced day of. But shout out to my girl, Jackie, co-host of Elite POV.
Yeah, she is now hosting her own podcast. Check her out, Elite POV. They have a Twitch. They have a Twitter page. Little shout out.
Good things.
Maybe in the future we'll collaborate with them. We'll see.
Would love it. Would love it. But I know that she was happy to see her FTR. And that's why we go to these shows.
That's what it's about. Yeah, it's not necessarily about, as I said, we talked little about the wrestling matches, as much as they were good. They were more about the people. That's what Dynamites are set up for. That's what I enjoy. But I just thought that the weird pacing or like the setup of the Dynamite where it's like, you know, we talked about like with the audience there, maybe we don't know how a Dynamite works, but it's like they don't really work the crowd well enough to get the pops.
I did not get to see my Which Buck Wore It Best, Nick Jackson.
No, you did not. But I believe this is what the Danielson Moxley set up for Grand Slam, which was kind of unexpected on a 1 week build.
Danielson Omega.
That's what I meant. You know what I meant. I've done that before 1,000 times. I can't... Omega is like... I don't know. I call him Adam Page. I call him John Moxley. It's like all the feuds he's had. It's like I just kind of roll it into it. But yes, Danielson and Omega, which was kind of a one-week turnaround, right? Of like where we got to. And they waited all night for that. You know, our friends would not... You know, our friend that came with us did not come to All Out, was looking forward to seeing Bryan Danielson for the first time. And he got the opportunity, obviously, to set up with Omega, but it kind of felt... Now, the crowd was good for this. Crowd was hot for this. But it kind of felt like Omega just accepts it. There's no parameters. Of course, it's the non-title match. It's just a regular wrestling match between Bryan Danielson and Kenny Omega. Is it possible this match goes a full time limit?
I could see that.
Like a 20-minute time limit. Or,
yeah.
Or at the end of the show, it goes to whenever TV time is over. TV time remaining.
I could definitely see that, because this is not the end.
No, and they haven't done that since Pac and Omega. Nope, not Omega. See, it's the same guy. They're the same guy. Omega and Moxley are the same person.
They're not.
They're the same person. We haven't seen that since Pac and Moxley, where they ran out of TV time. I could see it happening again. And it would leave the crowd, I think, a little hot, considering they got a 2-hour live rampage, not live, but 2-hour rampage post, unless they split it, which was what our friend was thinking. Maybe they would film the first half of Rampage before and then the second half after.
It's possible.
Because otherwise you're going to be going until midnight.
Yeah.
At the end of the show. So I don't know how they're going to film it. They also have Elevation, I'm sure they want to squeeze in, or at least a couple matches from it. It's a big show. It's an enormous show. There are going to be a lot of people there. Maybe they'll open the doors early and try to get as many matches as possible just to record stuff for the show. Maybe they'll go late. I have no idea. We have no idea how this is going to look.
It's Monday. I'm sure we'll be finding out very shortly.
Hopefully, yeah, for people that are going. Because I would like to go in there when it opens. I like to see a bunch of the matches. Cool experience.
Are they opening the roof? Because, like you said, it's supposed to rain this whole week,
right? I have no idea.
Right?
It's supposed to rain, like, all week. So I have no idea.
It's a bummer.
For anybody that is going, understand that there are vaccine requirements. I do believe it's only one vaccine, but you will need to show proof of your vaccination to go to Arthur Ashe on Wednesday. Just a heads up. This transition to the main event we talked about, which was Moxley and Kingston versus 2.0, which turns into Suzuki Goon's arrival.
Yes, we all got Takatsu, Nina, Ray. Suzuki incident redeemed, resolved, and we set up Lights Out, John Moxley, the Moxman, and Eddie Kingston versus Suzuki Goon, Minoru Suzuki, and Lance Archer, Rampage.
And that wasn't live. That happened after the show was off. The cameras went off, and they continued the beatdown, and then Lance Archer said that we're going to be having this. Like, they're going to be, this isn't over. So I don't believe that they saw that at home. Because they actually have a little clock, which is really weird. The setup was a little odd, right? They blocked off the entire hard cam section, which was odd. Like, nobody was there. So it made it look like you're just staring into, like, an empty hole right across from us. The entire venue's packed, packed. But this, like, void in the dead center of the arena kind of makes it feel like it's empty. But it's not. But there's a clock there. Which is a really good thing to have. I don't know if WWE has that. I haven't been to a WWE show in so long. But there's a clock there that tells them how much time they have left. It goes to the 10 o'clock hour. Like, they know that, hey, you know, we're coming up to this point where we have to finish.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really smart. So everybody can kind of have an idea of where can I look, like a play clock. You know, like, hey, look, you know.
No, it was right behind the hard cam. I thought that was perfect placement.
Athletes can see the time on the clock in a game. Yeah. I think it's important that these guys can do the same.
Yeah.
Without having the referee constantly telling them what, you know, what the time is and how long it takes. I think that's actually really, really good strategy. But this transitions to Rampage. Tony Khan comes back out. Max Caster and the Acclaimed come back out. They have another little, you know, thing. Rampage launches. It's Lucha Bros versus Butcher and Blade. Kind of a good way. New ring. Got the Rampage in the corner of all the apron corner posts or whatever the fuck you want to call them. You got AEW right in the middle. Butcher and Blade versus Lucha Bros, the first match, which is a good way to open the show. It's quick, maybe 10 minutes. Transitions to Bunny and AJ,
yep.
Which is going to set up, I think, for a tag team match, which is going to be Taye versus the Bunny and Penelope Ford,
yep.
Which is cool.
Yep.
Down for that.
Great great that AJ's back. This was her Rampage debut. And, yeah, we love some Taye, so.
Yeah, that's a good feud.
I also like involved. The team of Penelope and Bunny.
Yeah.
Very much so.
So you have that happen, which transitions, I believe, to Britt Baker and Ruby Riott. Sorry, Ruby Soho.
Ruby Soho.
I apologize.
Yes, this was quite the promo.
Yeah, it was a very unique promo. Obviously take some shots, little dig, little comedy in it. It kind of sets up their big match next week, which I believe is on Rampage. The problem is these two shows are so stacked, I don't know what's on each card.
Yeah, actually, that might be a Dynamite match.
So it's MJF and Pillman next week on Wednesday. It's Cody and Black on Wednesday.
That's the main event, I believe, right? Didn't they announce that as the main event?
Cody and Malakai?
Yeah, I thought so.
Okay.
Maybe.
Danielson?
Maybe not.
You got Danielson and Omega, and what else? CM Punk is going to talk, because Punk is fighting Hobbs on Rampage. Jericho, Hager, Scorpio Sky, Ethan Page, that's Rampage. Lights Out,
yeah.
Suzuki Goon versus Mox and Kingston's Rampage.
Britt and Ruby are on Dynamite.
So, AEW Women's World Title, Dynamite.
Sting and Darby, FTR, Dynamite.
So that's on Dynamite also, okay.
Yep. Cody and Malakai, Kenny and Danielson.
Yeah, okay. So you have that happening. Then, like I said, the Rampage, and you have an 8-man match on Rampage also. Proud and Powerful against the Hardy family?
Proud and Powerful and Lucha Bros versus the HFO. Was that announced?
I think so.
We have the Young Bucks and the Adam Cole Bebe.
Yeah, six-man tag.
The Adam Cole Bebe.
Christian
six-man tag.
And Jurassic Express. It's a massive Rampage. I mean, but the problem is the way they put them on the screen at the event, it just came one after the other, 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 after the other. They just kept putting them on the big screen.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, to remember if it was on Rampage and when it wasn't. Because they also didn't go in order. It didn't go like, hey, all the Dynamites, all the Rampages. It was like Dynamite, Dynamite, Rampage, Rampage, Dynamite, Rampage. It was all over the place. So I don't know how they're going to do it and how they're going to film it. We'll give them,
I'm
you know,
excited, though. I mean, this is fucking pay-per-view caliber, pay-per-view quality.
If this
quality.
Is the type of event, now you think forward to TBS, if this is the type of event that these TNT specials are going to be four times a year, it could be something special. You kind of have them like this, these big pay-per-views on TV. Now, look, you're not going to get a title change, but doesn't mean there's no quality to it. Building up stories, big crescendo. I don't think Ruby Soho is going to beat Britt Baker. That's the only title match. So we'll see what happens with those going forward. Are there going to be more title changes happening, let's say, on those shows on TNT? Are those more opportunities for title changes with more eyeballs on the product? This would feel like a big moment for a title change, yeah. But just nobody's ready for it yet. You're not having the Miro-Sammy match here. It's too, a little too soon. Too short a turnaround from that Friday. So it just coming or following All Out, it kind of feels like this might not be the time.
Yeah.
Even though it's a massive show.
Yeah.
So he said he wants to do it once every year, but I mean, that basically wraps up with Miro and Fuego. And Miro wants to, like, beat him with his car or something. And then, you know, Sammy comes out and it sets up Miro versus Sammy, which is the next feud.
Beat him with his car keys. Not his car.
Oh, I thought he was beating him with his car.
No.
I thought he was destroying Fuego and then his car.
Well, Fuego put his car on the line, yeah, so Miro gets the rights to it. But at the end, he's, like, going to, like, choke him out with his, like, keychain, I thought.
Oh, I'm
I thought you
sorry.
Meant, like, literally, like, beating him with his car.
No.
That did not happen.
Maybe I did. I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Hey, good match. I mean, I like Fuego
and
Miro. I
mean, there's nothing wrong with it, but that was the match where it's like, hey, you know, it's getting kind of late. We got to get home. We've seen this.
Yeah.
We know Fuego's not going to win this match.
Yeah.
It's like, we got to, you know, got to get out before the traffic. Got to get, you know, everything was closed. Couldn't eat anything.
No.
It's fucking nonsense. I had to make fucking ravioli at midnight.
Taco Bell was closed. The fucking Wendy's is the only place in town open, so the drive-thru line was down the street.
Literally down the street. So we came home and had to make ravioli.
Got locked out because we forgot our keys.
Locked out because we forgot the keys.
A disaster. But it was fun. We were happy to be there, happy that we finally got our show.
We'd do it again. 10 out of 10.
We're going to do it again in just a couple days. But that was just how our week started. After Rampage, we had GCW Highest in the Room live from California. We've watched a lot of GCW this past month, this past summer. And I think you're loving it.
Well, GCW reminds me a lot of what we used to do. I mean, what the wrestling company that I ran did. It was very intimate. There was only really a handful of people that were kind of full-time.
Like your core.
Like your core guys. You have like your Effie. You have like your Allie. You got your Nick Gage. You have your SGC. You know, you have those guys kind of there. You have your Atticus, you know, 440. You have a couple of guys, you know, 8-10 people. Then you kind of bring in people from other places that kind of work with those types of matches. You kind of have those special attractions, of course. You know, I can never afford a Moxley, but it was like, you know, those special attractions that you can kind of bring in, like Suzuki, Gresham, Matt Cardona. You know, you kind of have those things happening. You know, Too Cold Scorpio wrestled this past weekend. So it's an intimate environment. And it just reminds me so much of kind of, I guess, what I had done that on a much smaller scale. I mean, wish I could sell venues out and have pay-per-views. But it's comforting, I guess. And it's kind of like, it's a good watch. And they have a lot of young talent. They have a lot of veteran talent. They don't care about basically anything. That's what I really like about it. It's such a melting pot of individuals. Too Cold Scorpio is, what is he, 55? 58, I don't know, maybe he's not even that old, but he's wrestling a guy like Jordan Oliver who's like 21. And it's like, you know, Too Cold Scorpio is from the previous generation of wrestling. It's like a totally different style. And now he's coming up to this brand new style of 2021 wrestling. It's like, it's such a melting pot of like what the 90s ECW was and like what's today.
Yeah.
And it's kind of
and you get a different blend of styles. Like you get your hardcore, you get your death matches, you get your traditional matches. Suzuki versus Gresham. I mean, one hell of a match.
Right, and then that's two guys that aren't GCW guys that are main eventing the show, and people came to see them, and that was unique. So it's not always a Nick Gage main event. It's not always a death match main event. They have death. You know, Jimmy Lloyd puts on G Raver. They put on terrific death matches.
Yeah, this one was Alex Colon versus G Raver.
Right, Alex Colon puts on terrific death matches. So, you know, you have these guys doing that also on the card. You do have that. I mean, Alex Colon, like I said, G Raver, Jimmy Lloyd. These guys have great death matches. But it's such a unique environment where you're still main eventing with Minoru Suzuki versus Jonathan Gresham. That, you know, it's really cool, and we're starting to get into it, and that's why we're Dojo Dynamite and death matches. It's something that, you know, we kind of engaged with when we went out for All Out. We went to Three Cups Stuffed. We went to War Games. And, you know, you kind of start to connect, I guess, to the core guys. And you get to see who they face. I mean, now it's like Cardona and Effie are kind of going at it.
Yeah, and I'm pretty excited if that's going to end up in a match. We won't go too much into Highest in the Room, but let's just... What was your favorite match of the evening? Unless you want to go full in.
Probably Jacob Fatu and Chris Dickinson. That was probably the best match. Again, it's one of those things. I mean, I know that they were in MLW, and I know Chris Dickinson's been all over. But it was a really good match. It was a nice matchup. I mean, Fatu is so athletic. It's such a unique matchup. They had a big angle at the end that kind of set up, you know, two big dudes standing in the middle of the ring in this new, like, faction. I mean, again, I'm so unfamiliar with what's happening that it's like it's new, but it's exciting. All of a sudden, they made something here. There's a story happening, and it was good. It was probably my favorite match of that specific show. Because then they had to fight Fist and own Fist and take Fist.
That was a good one. I thought Tony Deppen versus Ron Funchess was fun. Ron Funchess hit a sick Canadian destroyer.
Yeah, and Paul Scheer turned on him.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. Too Cold Scorpio versus Effie was fun. We had the return of Alex Zane. And Atticus Koger beat your boy Ninja Mac.
Yeah, and that was when he took his mask off and put it on himself, and you go, well, he's Atticus Mac. So I was like, oh, the mask is Mac. The mask isn't Ninja. The mask doesn't make him a ninja. The mask makes him Mac.
My bad.
So now Atticus. Puts it on. He's not Ninja Atticus. Nope. He's Atticus Mac.
Oh,
so now
no.
That guy was just Ninja. Ninja Mac was no longer Ninja Mac. He's just Ninja.
Ninja Mac is your favorite in GCW. I enjoyed the death match. I enjoyed this whole night. This was really fun. You doubted me. You doubted that I would be able to stay awake through these late night shows, and I have done it.
You've struggled.
I am dedicated. I had a late night coffee and some Reuben bites, but we did it. We persevered, and it was fun, and we're going to do it all again.
Yeah, Nick Gage, 1:30 in the morning. You're like, please make me Reuben bites.
I was starving, and I was going to pass out. I had GCW beers planned. Couldn't do it. At 11 p.m. wasn't going to make it
1:30 in the morning, you're eating corned beef and sauerkraut and Thousand Island dressing, whatever the fuck it, Russian dressing.
And chugging
hot coffee.
Delicious. Loved it. But we're going to be getting Nick Gage versus Minoru Suzuki, King versus King. One hell of a matchup.
And that's October 23rd.
Yes, they're going to be back in L.A.
We're going to go to the show in Atlantic City, which is Mox Gage.
Yep, we'll be
October
seeing...
October 9th.
Minoru Suzuki, October 10th versus Joey Janela, which I am thrilled to bits about. Love it. Love it to pieces. Lots of good shit. We've got GCW Emo Fight and Get Lost a Lot this week in Queens. I'm trying...
It's too hard to go.
...to get rich to take to Emo
go.
Fight.
It's too hard to go. It's Thursday night. It's too hard to go. You're not off Friday. It's too hard to go.
I'm squinting at him.
I know.
From
and it, but it's
room.
Tough because they haven't sold as many tickets as they'd like. So we're hyping it up. Emo night, Thursday night after Grand Slam. If you are in the area and you want to go watch more wrestling Thursday night, go check it out. Emo night. It's DJ Nick Gage.
Hell yeah.
As he says, this is that weirdo shit. Emo night. We're all emo, aren't we?
I feel so connected to this one.
Apparently Nick Gage doesn't. But if you're in the area, you want to watch something Thursday night, go ahead and check it out. It's very tough for people coming from New Jersey to go out there again. It's another night after Grand Slam. But GCW is a cool show. I mean, on Saturday night, they did a backyard wrestling show, or I'd call it that, in like a back alley with in God knows where
with
against a company
Fist.
Called Fist. And my favorite match of the night was Brandon Gatson versus Jordan Oliver.
That was a good one.
And you got Dirty Ron McDonald versus Nick Gage.
That was my favorite match of the night.
Mance Warner almost killed somebody in the audience.
I don't know what happened
Not
there.
In the ring. Very safe in the ring. Very good match. But it was
a
in the
fight.
Audience. That
it
was
like the crowd was a little rowdy, but GCW prevails. Brett Lauderdale was an absolute
he owns
treat
Fist now, I guess.
On
yeah.
commentary. They had tables.
They had tables. He has no doors.
No doors. They're actual tables. That
he
was
didn't know
fun.
What he's never seen that before.
That
was like fucking foreign.
That was fun on YouTube.
That I liked a lot because it reminded me of like the small shit that we would do. It's like that's the kind of stuff that you see it and you're like, this is comfortable. I go out there and kill myself for this.
These are my goals. Like that's what I want to do.
And people, you know, they tell you, what's the old meme? It's like, you know, people do this for like a handshake and a hot dog. It's like I would go out to Fist and fucking kill each other for a handshake and a hot dog. Absolutely would. That'd be great. That'd be a lot of fun.
LFG.
You have 50 people in the crowd, tiny little ring, people are surrounding it, the lights are on, it's dark, you're beating the living shit out of each other. I would do it for a hot dog. Be great. Better be a good fucking hot dog. I would
hot
do
dog,
it.
A beer, Diet Coke.
I don't even need it. Yeah, just a hot dog. A cup of coffee.
Oh yeah, a cup of coffee.
Be a lot of fun. Just be bleeding.
Oh, that was like one of the highlights of the weekend. It was super fun. But it didn't stop there because we had the G1 31 climax. G1 climax 31.
Yeah, however they want to
say it. The G1 started, guys. A block and B block. We had A block on Saturday, B block on Sunday, and we'll just run through the matchups really quick here. So we had Yujiro Takahashi defeating Kota Ibushi for the A block. Great Okan defeated Tongaloa. Tongaloa making his G1 debut, as is Great Okan. Toriano defeated Kenta. Zack Sabre Jr. defeats Naito. And Shingo Takagi defeated Ishii. That's the A block. B block, we had Evil defeating Yoshihashi. Jeff Cobb defeating Chase Owens. Sonata defeating Tama Tonga. Taichi defeating Hiroki Goto, and then Kazuchika Okada defeating Hiroshi Tanahashi. Not a great two nights for Bullet Club to get started, but that's okay. We'll rebound. Super excited to see Tama and Loa in the G1 this year. Tag team wrestlers
they both look
in singles
really,
action.
Really good. I mean, they're both best shape they've been in how long, and that's not to be critical because they're always in good shape, but this they're like even better shape.
No, we also haven't seen them wrestle in a minute, so it was like, wow, like,
I was surprised Tama didn't get the
back.
Win, though. Kind of felt it. Like, I kind of felt Tama should have got the win there.
Against Sonata? Yeah.
I just kind of felt it. The match was very, very good. I'm a big Sonata guy, but it just kind of felt like maybe the way that the G1 works, maybe that would be a big win. If you want Sonata to kind of overcome that loss early, maybe kind of go on a run to get some points, you know, depending on how you want to do it. But I thought maybe that would be a big win for Tama and then a, you know, kind of a loss that Sonata has to kind of avenge over time to reach the plateau.
Yeah, I could see that. But a really great two nights of action, nonetheless. G1 picks back up this week, the 23rd and 24th, with the next matchups.
Yeah, so don't miss that. Couple of long matchups, though, so kind of buckle up. A couple of long matches on this card.
Shingo versus Ishii was a fucking banger.
A very good match. I didn't say they weren't good.
No, I'm just like, I would like to highlight that one especially. Those are two of my guys. Hard hitting, obviously, to be expected, but that was a hell of a match.
Yeah, Tanahashi and Okada kind of go the distance. So
yeah.
Just to put that out there, FYI, for those who are preparing to sit down.
But
and
it's the G1, baby.
Yeah,
that's what
it's
we're
the
here
G1.
For.
It's nothing like it.
No.
To have a tournament like this where these individuals are going out there putting on matches, the level and what they're doing, and having to do so many of them in such a short period of time in like, 3 weeks or whatever it is. It's like, it's amazing to see how that works and how these guys do it. And it's just appreciation.
Yeah.
For the type of effort that they put in, the type of work that they put in for this type of thing. And it's a really cool event. It's what makes New Japan feel so sports-oriented.
Yeah, like, this is a legit tournament. They're going the gauntlet. They're going the distance.
And it feels real,
supremacy.
The way that Kevin Kelly sells it, the fatigue, the way that they sell it later on. And especially when, last year there was, like, Ibushi and Jay White, or 2 years ago, whatever it was. And, they're both laying there on the ground, and Kevin Kelly is just selling how long the G1's been and why they're at this point and how they reached this point, especially in the match. But it was a culmination of the entire month.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was such it's a cool, cool thing.
Kevin Kelly's fantastic.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
But with that, thank you guys so much for listening. As always, hope you're doing well, staying safe, and enjoying all of this wrestling that's available to us. We are at Dojo and Dynamite on Twitter, at Dojo and Dynamite on Instagram, dojoanddynamite@gmail.com. And we will be back later this week with another episode. Thanks, guys.